Global companies are delaying their return to office plans as the Omicron COVID variant spreads like wildfire. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Global cases of the super transmissible Omicron variant have topped 1.7 million over the last few days. That's spurring governments from France to India to toughen restrictions and even cancel New Year gatherings. Aside from having to spend a lot less time socializing with each other for a second straight year, the pandemic has also fundamentally altered how and where we work. One firm that's repeatedly delayed plans to bring employees back in person is Alphabet's Google. It has 150,000 workers across 80 offices around the world, and Matt Britton is its president of Europe, Middle East and Africa Business and Operations.
First, I think we need to recognise that in most countries, over half of workers can't work remotely. So this is only part of the working population. And secondly, I think it's also important to see that technology has leapt forward in its use in business in the pandemic. In some countries, maybe 5 or 10 years of leaping forward in as few months. So we're just starting to see how habits form and reform. I think top of mind for me and many of the business leaders I talk to is how the pandemic's widened divides. And we really need to be thoughtful about the future of work if we're going to try to ensure that women, younger people, lower income workers and the poorer people in society can benefit from a speedy recovery.
So you're not a fan of work from home forever?
Oh, I think it depends on who you are. But for me, there are real benefits of getting people together regularly in person. I think the true answer, you know, really is nobody yet knows.
What type of technology trends have emerged and are set to continue into 2022?
Every business has become a digital business. Even if you are, you know, a restaurant, what's happened is you've pivoted to being home delivery for the first time, for example. And I think a lot of that will stay. It's clear that the pandemic has broken many of our habits and we haven't yet returned to stability. So we can't see how many of them are going to shift back. You know, people who've gone, like my parents, getting close to 90 are doing all their shopping online. Well, how much of that will go back to being offline as well. So we need to see how it will change. But certainly connectivity is probably the most important thing. We've seen how important it is for people to be connected and infrastructure investment. For example, we know that 600 million people in advanced economies are in rural areas with poor digital connectivity. That needs to change. We know that mobile penetration, when it goes up, the World Bank estimated 10% increase in mobile penetration can give you a 2% GDP boost. So it's really, really important to just get the basics of connection right.
Another big theme this year was the so-called Great Resignation in America, where people have been quitting their jobs by the millions. Have we seen this taking place in Europe, Middle East and Africa too? And what do companies need to do in order to retain their talent?
I'd say it's a bit difficult to read the data at the moment, and I'm a bit sceptical of sort of an easy headline. What I think is going on from the data I've seen is that we saw in 2020 a slowdown in people moving careers in most sectors. But then in 2021, as people realised that this was going to be here for a while, a bit of a pickup. So on average, I'm not sure that we've seen that much of a shift. But it's also clear that we haven't reached stability yet. And so there has been real disruption in many industries, particularly hospitality and travel. And so I think we'll see an acceleration in career mobility as we come out of the pandemic, country by country, sector by sector. The important thing, I think, is that employers and governments and communities and companies work together to try to ensure that people have the skills they need for those new jobs, the jobs of the future. And even before the pandemic, we looked at the skill shift that was likely to be required to help people where jobs are going to be enhanced by automation or might even change fundamentally by new technology. How do we reach those people and equip them with the new skills? And the good news is I think people are really keen to equip themselves with those skills. The question is how to reach out to them. And that's where governments, companies and communities should work together to make a difference.
Matt Britton, President of Google's Europe, Middle East and Africa Business and Operations, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
As we use internet services more and more, American tech firms like Google have seen billions added to their market capitalization this year, but their Chinese counterparts have had a tougher time due to a regulatory crackdown. Let's do the numbers. China's 10 richest internet tycoons lost $80 billion in combined net worth in 2021. That's according to Bloomberg data. And one of the worst performers is Tencent-owned Pinduoduo. China's largest online grocer is listed on Nasdaq, but cost shareholders nearly 70% this year despite the overall market being up 21%. The sound of workplace hustle and bustle is something that's been missing from many of our lives over the past 2 years. And with the way we work changing all the time, some of these sounds could become a distant memory. That's why a project in Dundee, Scotland has been inviting people to submit the noise of their workplaces. This is for an archive that will preserve these sounds for future generations. It's the brainchild of local artist Sean Parkinson.
Some of the sounds we've captured are the machinery at Verdant Works, DCA print studio, the ambience and some of the tyre manufacturing machines at Michelin Tyre Company. The reason that I was born in Dundee was because my father came up in 1973 to help set up Michelin Tyre Factory. And we were lucky enough to record it in 2018 to be able to go inside the factory and record some of the sounds. And we didn't know then that the factory would soon close, and that's a loss of 850 jobs, countless tyres produced there. But also that's the sound of my heritage, my father being here, the reason that I'm here. And all of that is kind of suddenly lost. So we're really lucky to be able to have preserved that and to gift that to the library. One of the more interesting ones, or at least to me, was the sound of an MRI brain scanner, which was used to try and map the contents of my head.
Please breathe in, breathe out, and hold your breath.
I was diagnosed with epilepsy last year, and part of that process was to try and find out what was going on. I had an MRI scan. There's a heritage element to the project, so that in future we'll be able to remember some of the sounds that, you know, were part of our everyday life. But there's another aspect to it as well, and this is part of what we want individuals to contribute to, is to be able to listen to their own work environments, to identify sounds that are around them, and to be able to record them and submit them to the website.
Sean Parkinson there, and if you'd like to contribute your own sounds to the archive, the website is songwork.org. And finally, big construction projects on new office and residential spaces in London were delayed or put on hold again this year, but the outlook for buildings remains strong in the British capital despite the rise of home working. That's according to an annual survey by consultancy Deloitte. In fact, the City of London's famous skyline is set to get more crowded. 587 skyscrapers are planned over the next decade. That's it from us. In London, I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.